Grandeur Narulus, Municipal Silver Creek. Well, my name is Mike Ketchum.
I was wondering if it was Ketchum.
From where?
When were you born? What year did you?
1916.
Did you go to school here?
Lima School.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, can you tell me a little bit why you joined the Grenadiers at that time?
No, the first I went in Port Arthur. I joined Lake Superior Regiment first.
For you?
Yeah.
In Lakehead, and you joined up?
I was joining on Port Arthur, like in 41, July the 27th.
Who did you join up with there? Was it the Grenadiers?
No, Lake Superior Regiment.
And how did you ever get into the Grenadiers?
Well, I was working in Winnipeg already. I was in the kitchen, and I didn't like it. I wanted to get out of it. So the guys come along and they asked if I want to. Any guys want to join Winnipeg and do it? And I said, yes, I will. So that's the way I get out from the kitchen. But they told us you're going to be a guard to the post. But once the train arrived, and they load us in the ship.
You weren't on the coast.
No.
What kind of guard did you take? Did you prison camp or something?
Prison camp to write in the last post.
What kind of training did you get before or after you joined the Grenadier camp? Did you get infantry training or anything?
No, I mean, never took it because I was just actually 3 months. I didn't have no time to do it.
How long were you in the Grenadiers before you left for the post?
About 2 weeks.
That's all right. So they just come back from Jamaica, I guess, and then they took you back down?
Yeah, and then they went back.
Do you remember much about the strength experience in the post? Going or just kind of going and anything?
No, not much.
Got off the train and put you right on the boat. Some of the men walked off the boat to see you off the train.
No, we went off, but they took us back.
you were eating mutton on the boat.
Pardon?
Did you eat mutton on the boat?
Yeah. I don't like
it. Yeah. Is that one of the reasons that some of the that you left got off the boat?
No, the boat wants to put us back to unhook the boat and put us in the open.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go and run away.
Mm-hmm. Have you been on the boat before?
No, that's fine.
Did you get sick at all?
No, that's fine. The boat is actually pretty sick. That was the first time, I think. And then after we come and go in,
did you take any kind of training on the boat when you left the captain?
No. No. No, I just had some how to fight with the enemies, you know, how to get about it.
Yeah.
How to get the job with my classroom.
Well, when you arrived in Hong Kong, do you remember what your impressions were, what you thought of it when you arrived?
Well, sometimes too much. I thought it was really funny the way it was. Things were nothing the way it was going on. She thought it was going to be in there as a guard or something like that. And you know, it's like a world break on their top of the
staff. Yeah. What did you do in there between the time you arrived in Hong Kong and in the wardrobe, but it was about 3 weeks period. Did you do any kind of training or anything?
No, we just were going to help another small system like that, and trying to see behind there. Just around the camp. It must be hot to do anything.
You were with B Company, did you have any kind of work to do? Did you have any?
No. Not very sorry. Oh, there was some kind of like a 50-speed gun.
Yeah, any kind of rifle drill or anything like that?
No. Nothing.
Well, did you ever get over the island before before the war broke out?
To Hong Kong, or he was a member at night, but for the third.
Is this, this is just go out and have a look at the town? Or?
Yeah. You have lots of time to support the thoughts and
the clubs and that
sort of thing. You have to get the acquaintance somehow, someplace.
Yeah. Do you remember where you were and, when you first knew that the war had started? What position? Were you on the island or were you in camp?
No, we were in the camp that time. And the officers knew the war had broke out, but we didn't know. But they took so many men out on the hills to Hong Kong, and we were still staying in Extension Point there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's breakfast time, I think. That's half hour breakfast, and we're coming out, and some guy says, "Who told British haven't got no planes? Oh, look all the planes in there." And then we see the bomb coming, so they start bombing.
Mm-hmm.
So we were in the camps yet.
Do you remember what happened after that? We moved over to the island?
Well, we moved over down to the hills too.
Yeah. Did you take any equipment from the camp with you, can you remember?
Well, I took all my belongings.
Yeah. Did you have a rifle or ammunition?
Well, we got the ammunition already. They gave us ammunition the same day when we arrived from Hong Kong already.
Yeah. Do you have anything on? Do you have grenades or mortars or anything that you remember? Or did you have to
I didn't have to know mortars, but the mortars were in the company and the grenades. I had to myself grenades carrying along in a pouch.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you remember what you did between the time the war started and you went to the island, and between then and when the Japanese came over? Were you making ready for the Japanese attacking the island? Did you have positions or move around?
We were moving around the hill down there. We don't know how much on the hill, but we had leaders, so we were going along with the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, we knew that the chaps are in the island already.
They were, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Were you involved in any of the fighting?
I wasn't there while they were fighting. I think it was 2 nights. It was December the 22nd or 21st, and Christmas Eve was another one. It was the battle gone.
Do you remember what you thought of your officers at that time?
Well, as far as our officers, the one I know, they were okay. They always were ahead. They didn't sound like they had us like British officers then. Stay in the back and push us in the hill. You go up on the top of the hill.
Yeah.
Look closer.
We're talking about the war, just about this one. Remember, were you wounded yourself, or were
no.
any friends that were killed or wounded?
Well, we had one out here from Bertil, Henry Piasta, he was killed.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Black's that his friend got killed in there too.
Yeah. Remember about the surrender, or food and water during the battle, did you get enough to eat or to drink?
During the war?
Yeah.
It was pretty scanty.
Mm-hmm.
You had to go and, there was an island there was food, but just to go and bring it. Some of the boys, some of them were scared, but myself, I went, two of us, we went. We crawled on the knees and hands. But we got there, right, with the pillbox and so we got loaded up, I think about half a sack each, and we had about 7-8 water bottles on my shoulder too, pulling that along with me. And then what and the officer told, we have to be rational on this food because we knew when we could get another time, so put 4 men to a camp. And then at night, and the chaps push us back and everything was left behind.
How about ammunition and supplies, I think?
Well, ammunition, you have to carry a few ammunition with us, of course. And one dumper, I know they just put out of order and blew up. We're shooting steady.
Yeah.
And the bus burned.
Yeah. How about, were you getting much sleep at all?
Well, if I was tired enough, I didn't care if I was sleeping or not, but during the were shooting.
Yeah.
You can keep your eyes, you can wake up there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know one time I was down there on the hill, and there was two of us. So in the morning I was sleeping all night, and not all night, about maybe from 2 to 4, maybe 2 to 3 hours. Look, my chum was beside me. So I thought, well, I'm left alone already. Then I heard something that he was about, that gas was stalled, and I see what's moving. So I picked my head together and looked, and it was my friend.
How about towards the end, just before the surrender, or during the surrender, were you told by an officer or somebody that it was over? That you were going to surrender?
Well, we knew that day already that the war might stop. I think it was Christmas Day.
Were you ready for that? Do you think you'd had enough by that time?
Well, this is hard to say. I think we in one way we had enough already with that kind of life.
Yeah. How about, do you think you would have done any better if you had more equipment or had been better prepared?
Well, we will have more bigger equipment, like artillery guns and brand guns, and not brand guns, but those on wheels, aeroplanes that would at least chase the Japs out from the island. But this way, we just came in voluntarily, like nothing to stop them.
Mm-hmm. Had you ever taken any rifle practice with the army before the war?
Before the war?
Yeah.
Well, more about the rifle, I was good at that.
Yeah.
That's why I went through so fast. I used to go and shoot at Fort William, that big hill, what's its name?
Mountain Cay?
Mountain Cay Hill. Very practicing. And, I used to make good targets.
Mm-hmm.
25 out of 5.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you remember who told you about the surrender? Was it an officer? And what happened after that for you?
Well, they told us that we will have to pull, the Civil War is over, we have to put the arms down and just power it down.
Did you just leave them at the side of the road or with guns and things like that?
Side of the road.
Did the Japanese round you up, or did you go somewhere and take your meeting from?
No, they were waiting until the Japs arrived. Right?
What happened when they arrived?
Well, actually, I didn't arrive there because the top, my feet were all swollen up in the bottom sea, and they took me to the hospital. One of us in the hospital already got the same day. So I didn't go to that camp. I went to the camp about 2 weeks after.
What happened to your feet?
Well, I never took my shoes off, you know, and I had all blistered up. My skin was coming off my feet.
Is this from when your shoes didn't fit right or something?
No, but my feet were sweating like that, you know, and once you never take your shoes off for about 17, 18 days.
Yeah.
So I couldn't hardly walk already.
Yeah. Remember which hospital you went? Maybe Bone
Road? I forgot already. Yeah. So right down the hills in there, and there's
Bowen Road Hospital?
I think it's something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Bowen Road Hospital.
Remember what kind of treatment you got there? Things would probably be pretty hectic. There'd be a lot of wounded.
Oh, well, there was lots of wounded in there, and the hospital were okay. Well, we didn't get much to eat in there, you know, but some we carried on.
I know one of the hospitals, the Japanese had come and You taken some of the nurses out, and you know, heard that they raped the nurses, and they shot a lot of the wounded.
I never seen that.
Was that the hospital that you were
I wouldn't know, because there's a few more there yet, but I don't know exactly which of the hospital was, but I heard about that, it was what happened like that, but when I was in there, so there was, Japs were common and Lucans, yes, we got, but they never touched no patients or nurses.
Did you get your feet looked after?
Mm-hmm.
Doctors? There was enough medicine to do that?
Mm-hmm. They used to put something on it, I know, what kind of red stuff or something on it. Heal it up.
Well, when you were released from the hospital, did you go to Japan?
I went to North Point.
North Point. Did you start working then right away? Or did you
No, I didn't work for a while yet. I kind of started working in the springtime at the airport.
Did you have any kind of a kit with you? Did you have any blankets? Or?
Well, we got our kit. I kept everything of my belongings. That's my blanket, I know.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a mess kit and a spoon and a board?
Yeah, I got that too.
What was the food like at North Point when you first got there? Was there much food? Or?
Well, there was, I think, enough to eat, see, but the food didn't taste as, exactly the same as in Canada. You know? And you have to get acquainted with that food. The Latin boys, they went to town, like, to eat.
To town?
Yeah, to restaurants. Like that, for supper, one meal at least, they go out.
Hmm.
And some of them...
They went out of the camp to restaurants?
Yeah. Well, you were allowed to go after 5 o'clock. So if you then go for supper down to the mess hall, so if you then eat it, that's your fault. So you go to down the town and get something to eat. Restaurants.
Mm-hmm. This is after the war? After
the before the war.
Yeah, before, yeah.
Before the war.
Mm-hmm. I was worried about afterwards.
Then. Oh, after, no, there was hardly anything to eat. We used to get that rice, 10 o'clock and about 3 o'clock, 4 something like that. Half on water, like a soup.
But were you people cooking it yourselves? Or were
you the prisoners were like cooking.
Hmm.
See, they had a petite party that they were used to cook like. But if they would give them more, they would cook more, but if they just cook what there was.
Hmm.
And it was rationed.
Hmm.
I'm sure the boys went down in a month's time. When I come up from the hospital in two weeks' time, I see a big difference in the boys. Okay.
Do you take turns in North Point cooking?
No, I think those same guys were. And I think in Shenzhou already that the very low guys, underweight, a doctor used to put them for about 2 weeks, because I was about 2 weeks in the other room. Doctor told to go to the kitchen and wash pots in there and pans, and I ate them there. So
hey,
I
get a little more food?
Yeah, I ate more and get a little bit stronger, weight a little bit, and then took me off and put another guy like to build them up. See, just those guys that were run down too much. And those crippled guys, well, you cannot put them to the master, to the kitchen to work in there because they couldn't get around.
Can you remember how you went about cooking the food? Did you have big pots and build a fire? Or?
No, they built it, they had those big, we used to call them the soils, you know, the big pots. I think they had 5 or 6, and they built it like this table in here, and there was lots of doors, and they built a fire in there, and that pot is under that fire, you know. When the water is boiling, then they put the rice And then when the rice is steamed, then they take the charcoal out from there, you know. But won't burn underneath too much.
Would you wait until all the water was boiled away and the rice was dry, or would you leave some water in there?
No, it steams the rice. So much water and the rice, when they spill it, then they leave it that it's still hot in there, see, and they cover it, and the rice steams. And it was okay like that.
Did you ever put anything else in with the rice?
No, just water and rice.
Just water and rice?
Yeah. Because I wasn't there, I seen it, and how they were doing.
Are you getting anything else, any kind of vegetables?
Well, they get those daikons, vegetables, and carrot tops. Used to cut, chop it up. And, and that seaweed, and I know they use to get horse guts in there, and the Japanese used to bring bones, you know, like to cook those bones, like. For a day or so to get that juice out again.
These are horse bones?
Yeah, horse bones. Some ones we put it out are like in a shelf, in a sack outside, and the horse used to feel those bones. Take under the blanket and chew, keep it chew here all over here, scrunching on those bones.
But you mentioned that later on you began working in North Point on the airport.
Yeah.
You remember what you did there, what kind of work it was?
Well, we used to cut the grass in the airport, and then we used to take that secret hill, we used to call the Chinese, and making the bigger airport. See, we used to have tracks on those bodies and shove it in those bodies and push. Like a train, and then you dump it off, and then you bring it back to cars. And sometimes you have 2-3 cars at once and go follow it up. It was a lot of work for it.
Was it a big hill that you were moving?
Oh, yeah, it was a big hill. Mm-hmm. So there were, it was a lower place, like a swamp in there, and there was falling that from that hill and cover that everything, making a bigger airport.
Mm. Was this, some of the men have mentioned that it was the Chinese thought that the hill was sacred. Was it a graveyard or something? Was it?
I won't tell you what it was, but he used to call it a secret hill.
Mm.
Maybe there was bodies. I think we found here and the other ones.
Mm. Remember what you did at nights when you went back to the camp? Were you doing entertainment?
Well, there was nothing to do. We had to lie down in our bunks on the blanket.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to do it. After you go, you feel tired and feel like what?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You have to find something to do with carving or making things? Or?
Well, you haven't got the camp to do it. Why are you going to carve? You have to find the lights. You know?
There wasn't much to do at night.
No, there wasn't much to do at night. Probably you still have some time left. We'll get in and we'll go out with everything like the boys and just to pass a little bit of time, you know, go to see the weather friends because they were in different camps. Talk for a while in there and then see another guy and then so on caring. But I think 10 o'clock is where you're supposed to be. You were in bed, you kind of wander around too much after that.
Mm. Were the Indian troops, were they in the camp near you? Or, I was just wondering if you ever went over and visited them, or the British troops?
Well, British troops, there was along with us in there, and there were Indians too, but they didn't move it because they used to fight. Canadians and Desde ahí, la que tú tienes, sabes, y ya. Luego toqué al muerto y todo ya. There were some Russians in there too, in the camp. You know, just to go and visit them once in a while.
Were they in the Russian army, or had they been in the army?
No, I think they were in Hong Kong when Hong Kong fell, and the Japanese picked them up because they were going to help, to fight. You know, they were older people, older men.
Mm-hmm. And, do you remember what had happened to their families? Were their families there too?
Well, families were in Hong Kong at that time, and their wives used to bring them in baskets like once a week or so.
Were they ever able to get any food from them?
Not us, you know, but they, like her husband, they got Russians, like they had their wives used to bring it.
Hmm. Were you ever able to get any food or anything, cigarettes from, like, people, Chinese people, or buy anything?
Well, we were trying. Well, at first we done it, that's the trade, like, but afterwards we were not into trade already. The Japanese, they catch the North Chinese, the Japanese catch them selling, boy, they beat them up. You know, like that. Well, they were trying different ways already. It was the North Point. Yeah, in the North Point, there was the buildings, tall buildings, right? And the Chinese used to go up and down. Like,
throw them off?
Yeah. But you have to throw money up. The boys used to wrap it up and take a stone and wrap it up and wrap it up on the top of the building. So when you see, you put a note and you bring it. Well, the guys didn't have money, but who didn't have money, well, they was out of luck.
Hmm. Well, how long were you in Shemshiko at North Point? Before you went to Japan, a couple of years?
Not quite. We moved, we left, I think, August, beginning of August, or July, something like that.
Yeah. How was your health? Did you get sick at all?
I was poor at the time. But anyway, I went. Well, my feet was bothering too much at the time. I used to get that hot feet. I used to swell. Very, very like that.
Did you get very, very? Did you swell up or did you get dry?
No, they swell up. My feet still swell something enough. So, like if I'm too much in my feet.
Mm. Were you ever, did you have diphtheria at all?
No, I never had that.
Do you remember getting any kind of medicine by the inoculation or shots or anything?
Oh yes, I was getting those things. I got enough of those needles and pills. They used to give me a needle, I didn't know it first. And it was burning. So second next time I went to the doctor, give me a needle, and I was flashing the back to my bed. Because it cut me in the road last time and I had to suffer in there. Oh, I got for over 70 needles in my feet that time.
This was for your feet to stop the pain? What else did you, was there anything else you could do? Did you ever soak in water or anything?
Well, we were soaking, but we were not allowed. See, and they say it wasn't good because we used to put under the cap and wire goes and to sleep there. But that wasn't very much a good idea of doing that.
Was there anything else you could do for
it? No, not much at that time. I could help, but once we went to Japanese, it was a different climate in there. And it didn't bother me as much in Japan than it bothered me in Hong Kong for some reason.
Were you able to sleep at night because of
Oh, you can't sleep on your feet. If you sleep 10 minutes, that's it. You have to get up and walk over to ease the pain and then go to sleep again for 5-10 minutes and you're up again. It's all night like that.
Oh. And this went on for a long period of time.
Oh, yeah. Went out to, I think we got the Red Cross boat. So we had some that gear that they used to call gear that the 5 gallon guns that they used to put some in the soups. And that can help a little bit to stop the pain. That dry prunes, dry raisins, you get that in. So it was better than just plain rice and plain carrot tops or daikons, those things to call it.
Those things kind of helped them, the raisins and that?
Oh yeah, it helped quite a bit.
Did you get that very often?
I think we got it at least once a day in the morning, so about that. But it was good enough, huh? At least we got one once a day.
Mm. Were you suffering anything else? Like, did you ever get boils or ulcers? Or,
no.
Bugs?
Oh, there was lots of bugs in there all the time.
Well, how about the draft to Japan? That was in, you said August, that'd be 43, I guess.
43, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I think it was August, because we were 2 weeks from the boat, and we landed in Osaka September the 2nd.
Was that the first boat that went in
September? No, I think that's the third, I went in the third boat. Third draft.
Remember why you didn't go in the first or the second?
I was 2 weeks. I was sick at the time, they wouldn't take me. And after I got a little bit better, so the third draft I went on.
Do you remember how many other men went?
I think 500 was in.
Is it because?
Oh, not 250 it was in each, 500 was. Because 250 went to Niigata, and where I was in Niigata, and 250 went different way. I don't know where those men went. But we were beside a coal, unloading the ships, like, and hauling the coal and loading these boxcars, like, the old the coal.
Were things any better in Niigata? That's where you went?
Well, that's the place I have to go. I have no choice. You just put you in there, that's it.
Were things any better in the camp, or were they worse? Was the food any better? Or the
well, it was
conditions in the camp. You have a better place.
You get a little bit more, and it was better place. At least you didn't sleep in a cement like in Hong Kong. You know, we used to sleep in a put the blanket and sleep in a cement. But down there, they make a like a stand right through the huts, and we used to sleep on the boards in there. It was a little bit better. It was lots of bed, but then it was.
And you said the food was maybe a little better? Do you get a little more of it? Or?
Yeah, we went to work. See, they used to give us beans. That's why I always like to go to work, because you get extra ration in there.
Hello?
Remember if you did any other kinds of things besides unload coal and haul it? Or was that just, that was about it?
Well, that's how it worked, was that one, just to push those cars on a track 25 feet up, and he over the coal. I fell once in there and I got hurt that time too. It was 25 feet high, and I was in the corner. And see, when the boys come around the corner, kind of hard to push those cars. So I have this guy, and I just turn around, and like another guy was at easy buggy and just banged me off.
And you fell 25 feet?
25 feet.
What happened to you?
Well, I hurt my back that time. My collarbone in here, not the collar, but my back in here, at the back, my neck.
Did you go to the hospital at all, or did you do any treatment?
Well, I was getting kind of treatment in there for the last 2 weeks before I went back to work again.
Were you getting any beans still, or did they cut your beans off?
No, they were during the dynasty, last of the last day. Yeah.
When you were maybe tell me a little bit how the coal came off the boats. Did it come off in a sack, or did you shovel it off the ships?
No, they used to have those big screens, you know. They load the Japanese, they load on the, those themselves, and then put us inside the ships. And then they got to hook it up, and then it's a big, about maybe 2 tons at once coming up from that screen, and then they dump it into the on the side, and the conveyors taking up, see, and then they're loading the, those cars, 1 ton cars, like.
They'd load the car, and then you would
push it after, yeah.
How many men would it take to push a car?
Well, they usually put one, but some of them buggers, they need 2 men to push, not one. Mm. First, when they went down on there, when they took the shoes off, they have to push in the bare feet. You know how they spell the goal, and if it cuts, your feet is bleeding.
Mm. Yeah, you would push it up a hill?
Well, that's a level. See, it's a trestle in there. But in the curves, it's hard to make it. And some of those bodies were very hard. They were hard to push them. Some of them were easy to push.
What happened to the coal after it was dumped over the cars? Just,
well,
just piling it up, making
piles? Yeah, piling up, and there's no ships. Then we load the cars with the yo-hoing. Have 2 baskets on a pole and carrying up the planks and dumping them out.
In a railway car? Or?
Railway cars, box cars.
Yeah. What if guards that would watch you all?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're standing.
Yeah. You remember how they treated you?
They were okay, guards. You were working. As long as you were moving, you were monkey around too much, and they get after you.
Were you ever able to get anything from them? With a bit of money or cigarettes?
Oh, no, not from the guards. They don't give nothing like.
Do you have different names for them? From the guards?
Us?
Yeah. Did you call them different names?
Well, I forgot already what we used to call them. I know we used to call them all different, but.
Well, something I wanted to ask about, I forgot, when you were in North Point, did you remember there was an escape by someone who was paying and giving
his
care? Remember any much about that?
Well, I remember they ran away. It was, how much of them, 4 or 5 of them?
4, I think.
It was George Bozinski, that I know him. He left.
Did you know that he was going to escape?
No. We didn't know nothing about it. They were going to break out. Escaped. They was doing quietly, you know. And nobody knew nothing about it. Even in the morning, we had a roll call. We didn't know they were missing. And then the roll call, I don't know how the roll call went too smooth, that nobody was missing. But afterward, officers, some of them found out. They were asking, where is that guy, where is that guy, they're not around. Then they make, then Japanese make us to, officers make us to 10 o'clock and before noon, another roll call. Then they seen there were 5 guys missing.
This is the Japanese or your own officers?
Our own officers, I think. They were able to give them another, at least to the night, it was Sunday night, I believe. They will give him to Sunday night and then report their missing, and those guys will be one night farther away. But they just escaped, I think, I understand, 5 o'clock in the morning, or 4 o'clock in the morning.
Did you stay in Niigata for the rest of the war?
Yeah. I stayed in there, 2 years I stayed in there.
How did things change? Did things change very much by the time you were getting to the end of the war? You were getting run down more and more? Was it pretty
well
the same?
No, it was the same. saying, I weighed 115 pounds that time.
Don't you remember how much you weighed when you went in the army?
170.
A lot of weight to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Did you lose most of that in North Point and Church Pond?
Yeah, in Hong Kong I lost it. And then I couldn't gain it, you know, all it, because if you have something better that you could gain it, and nothing to gain off, you can't gain from rice.
Do you know what was happening during, what was happening outside, how the war was going?
No, I didn't know nothing about.
You had no idea if the Japanese were winning? Or the
well, that foreman in there, they told us the last day, about a week before, that in a short time the war would be all over.
But did you know who was winning then?
No, he never told us who, mm-hmm. but he told the war would be over.
Did the Americans ever fly over? Did you have it? Did you ever see American planes at all?
Well, we see them pretty high.
Did they ever bomb around that area?
Oh, well, where we were. Well, at night they did it. They were bombing in there, mm-hmm. putting those mines in the lakes. They're hauling the coal, like. You could see five boats were all in line around, sank down.
Remember if the attitude of the Japanese ever changed very much? The guards and the people who were looking after the camp, did they ever get any softer towards the end of the war? Do you ever get treated any better, any more Red Cross persons?
No, they were, I think they were more maddier at that time, like pretty strict. And then when the war broke out, those guards and camp commander, they left, and the new camp commander and those new guards all came new ones. And they were good already, those guys.
Hmm. Remember how you heard that the war was over?
Well, we knew it more or less already because we were out working, and then we come home 2 o'clock. And then he then told us, and then at night we have a roll call, and he told there will be no more further orders in the morning. And then in the morning we get up, go to work. Well, we're not going to work. So then the camp commander took me and told that war is like all over, but the paper's not signed. See?
Did the food get any better, or was it the same?
It was the same practitioners, but after the US, Americans used to bring those food down from states already. You know, all fruits and corn and beefs and all kind of meats in the cans. But that thing was worse than the army, than the war, when those barrels start flying down. You have to watch pretty close.
Yeah. Do you remember if anyone ever got hit?
Well, I seen it when a Japanese woman got killed. She was running after, I know what she was running, or she was running away, but that was a black spawn and I heard kill her dead.
I remember Tom Bervenier was telling me the same story, and he thought that she was trying to catch it or something.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if she was catching or something, but it was just on the side of the fence. But if they left that, when the plane was gone, when they left the bay doors open, straight on the camp, it would go about half a mile away. But before they opened it, before the camp, it shoot far and light on the camp. Camp, and I see that box coming. So I thought to myself, I'm not going to stay in there. So I went around and I hide my way down beside the camp again, just to be safe. Well, I know in the kitchen down there, I know how the few boxes got loose or how, and fall on the roof and just right to the kitchen. Broke right through.
Hmm.
I think one guy was having his dinner, was eating besides, you know, he had a small little table, make himself in there and put it, and then one buck just came right in front of him, right through the roof.
Was your
Do you think there was anything that was really, really bothered you about living in the camp for those years? Was it the food that you couldn't get enough of? Or
well,
was it cigarettes you couldn't get, or was it?
Well, we couldn't get nothing like what we wanted, but what we had just to live like that, and etc.
Was there any one thing that really stands out that you think was the worst of all? Was it the food or anything?
The food.
That
because
was the
you
worst.
Go to sleep and you couldn't fall asleep, you're feeling hungry all night. In the morning, 5 o'clock, before 5, you're up already, waiting for that 7 o'clock breakfast.
Well, when the war was over afterwards, did the Americans come to the camp and liberate you, or did you take a train?
No, Americans come afterwards. Well, the first time when the war was over, two planes, single ones, were looking where the camp was. I think he threw some cigarettes for us in the few cartons. And there was a note. It says the bombers will be bringing the food and look out. It's in a note. But then we got those cigarettes and got divided into so much each person. I think something like that. 7 or 8 cigarettes like that first time. And then there were more cigarettes coming. We used to get by cartoons already, gum and everything, chocolate bars. It was just coming down day after day. I know when we left the camp, we had the warehouse. That warehouse was filled up with canned food stuff.
Mm-hmm. Did you take that with you or did you leave it there?
Just left it. Well, we cannot take it. We got more. And just left everything down there for Japanese, I think.
How about the Japanese, the guards and the people, civilians? I know you didn't have much contact with the civilians, but do you think that they were getting much food during the war?
No, I think the same amount, because I think them, those yard ones were eating, could you just even take those orderlies, he had just more a little basket of rice and few pigs on there to tell him he had to eat. They had enough either, but they are used to that, you know.
Did you ever get a Red Cross parcel in the mail?
Oh yeah, we used to get afterwards. We got into the Americans after, we got some cigarettes and smuggler. We used to get a whole box to one person, and then after that two persons to a box, and then four. Towards the end, I think it was 8 or 12 of us to our box. But that the camp commander, I think he gave it to their people or he sold it.
The Japanese commander?
Yeah, camp commander.
Was there an American or Canadian that was looking after your camp and sort of in charge would take orders from the Japanese and then pass them on?
I think Canadians, like, they had an interpreter, he was a Portugal interpreter.
I was just wondering if there was anybody who sort of kept discipline, and like you, there were certain things that you would probably have to do, like keep your huts clean.
Yeah. Well, it's the officers, they used to come and check it, but officer got the orders from the Japs. You know, when we have to, you have to make your bed, and it's supposed to be the way they want it. You have to do that. You have to, I know, towards the end, you have to leave it, roll your all belongings in a blanket and just tie it up, and they're like in a bundle, you know, rolled up. Slap this way and that way, and then you roll it up.
And you do this every morning when you go
every
around?
Every morning, yeah.
Would somebody come around and sort of sweep the floor? And keep
well, there always was a few guys left for the fatigue. Like, there was nothing to sweep, it was dirt floor. Nothing cement.
Yeah.
But
they probably wouldn't even
pick the papers up, you know. And then there was some man that left, picked the papers, or sometimes they make those brooms from the branches, you know. I know what to make from that bamboo or what. Used to sweep the yard once in a while. And that.
Do you remember sort of the layout of the camp, how things looked? Were there many huts? Was there a place where you could wash? A bath place? Was there a hospital in that?
Hospital was in a. Or someplace in a hut, like, or they have one hut for the hospital. And there was 1, 2, 3, and one big 4. I think 4 camps in there, like a hut and a nest.
Well, if this was the, say, this is the camp, I don't know what it looked like, but I guess it had a fence around it outside.
Yeah.
And you would have some huts in here somewhere?
Yeah, they have, there was a master hall in here. Wouldn't make it good. There was another hut in here. And there was a third one. Oh no, there is not a third one. There was 3 huts in here. And his officers, guards and sergeant that you call them Japanese in there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one big one in here. And it was in here, I think there was a washroom in here. And here there was a washroom in here.
Yeah, be a gate.
And I think there was from these huts we had the washroom in here. And this one collapsed on a Christmas Eve hut. Killed out persons in this one here. See, when there was snowing, about 2 feet of snow came down and there wasn't built light. And when the weight came, and it just collapsed. And then after they pried with the logs, timber. These huts already, the woman gave in.
Mm-hmm. Was this one ever rebuilt? Do you remember?
No.
It was just left then?
Yeah, it was cleaned out and just left like that.
Do you remember, was there one gate or more than one gate?
The gate was just in here.
Okay.
And the well was down here.
It was a deep well, you have to get water with a bucket or
pump? Pump, I think it was, mm-hmm. Was in there. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if there was a gate. I think there was a gate in here too. And here, because we used to go and plant a garden around this area.
Oh, yeah, you had a garden? Mm-hmm. Remember what you grew in the garden? Vegetables?
Were those daikons.
Daikons?
We used to plant potatoes in there, but it wasn't much. Not in the sandy soil, it grew too much. But the daikons, they grew very big.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, after the war was over, the Americans came to the camp. Were you taken from the camp, all of you at once? Or?
All of us by train. The train came about a mile from the camp, where they used to go for the sand. They used to load the sand from those hills where we were, a mile south of the camp. And then the train, they pushed the train back up to that pit in there. Then we were loaded in there and go to Tokyo. I think we left 9 o'clock at night, until 9:30, and then we drove all night in the morning. We came, I think, about 11 o'clock when we arrived to Tokyo, something like that. And then we took an electric train and went to next to Tokyo, you won't know it. It's the place where we from Tokyo went to, I know it, forgot already what that town name.
Well, so we were taken down there. We went through the doctors and everything, and then from there we took a small boat and went in the ship.
Did they look after you then? Did you get?
Once we were in the ship, well, the ship looked after us. I mean,
good food.
Oh, we had lots to eat already. Yeah. No, the reason that we went to Guam, we stopped in there for I think 4 or 5 days in the hospital. We were down there. They treat us good in there, and then from Guam we sailed to Pearl Harbor. I think we stopped there for a day. From Pearl Harbor we went to San Francisco. So we stopped in San Francisco, I think, 2 days. And then we took the train from San Francisco to Seattle. From Seattle took the ferry to Victoria. Victoria we stopped at 2 days. And then we moved from Victoria to BC, loaded in a train and come to anything.
How were you feeling at this time?
I was feeling unbelievable. I weighed 100 when I come back from to anything. I weighed 196 pounds.
196?
Yeah.
You must have eaten a lot.
Well, they give us pills and they give us lots to eat, and we ate quite a bit.
Bloated up?
Bloated up. And then and after, I think it was in March, and then all went down, went down from 196 to 135 pounds. And then I gradually built up to 107.
Did you have any problems when you got medical problems in your stomach? Or?
Not the stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have my feet that's bothering me, that's all my back. Like.
Your feet and your back?
But now I try this in my neck, my shoulders, my hips, feet.
Hmm.
Yeah, I can't twist my head like that. I don't want. I have to move all the all my body. I got like right in here from this bone, collarbone, not collarbone, the neck bone. It comes to my ear up to here. So patch it. The one to feel it.
Did you get any kind of a pension?
Yeah, I got the pension.
Did you get it right after you got out?
Oh, no, not right after. I got 5% when I get out, and then I think I had 2 years and 5%, and then, or 3 years, and then I went to 10%. And then I think in a year's time, then you need to go to see a doctor, and then they give me from 10 to 20%. And then I stayed at 20% until that back pay that they give us to 50%. So I got 30% raised then to 50%.
Was it enough when you first got back? Did you have a tough time?
Well, I went to the farm, I couldn't work, so then I went to Olympic. So I took a shoemaking trade. But that wasn't that much business on it.
Did you stay in Winnipeg or did you come back?
No,
here?
I come back in here, and then 1949 took us a post office. By that time the wages were way lower. I believe I started $1,680 annual work. Well, that's pretty hard to have to plow it through somehow.
Were you married before you went?
Before I went overseas?
Yeah.
No, I got married after we come back.
I was just wondering if you ever got any letters from people here, if you had any family that sent you letters.
I got my brothers in here. I got one letter in 4 years down there, and they got one letter from me.
Mm. So they at least knew that you were alive and in.
I wrote more letters, but I wrote.
I don't know if there's anything else that I want to know. Oh, maybe how you feel about the whole thing, about the war, and about the Japanese now.
Well, I don't feel now nothing about it. See, it went through, and I know that when the younger, when the war is going on, well, somebody has to go and somebody has to get a little bit on a tougher side.
Would you do it again?
No, I wouldn't go no more. At least I wouldn't go. I wouldn't mind to be in a war like in Canada, like in a, to be as a guard, but I wouldn't go no more in the prison camp. That's completely out.
Mm. You wouldn't have surrendered if you had to do it?
No, I would sooner give shoot myself and surrender again.
Mm.
You have to. That's very hard when you're hungry and I even sometimes think what I went through, boy, it just gives you shivers. Very tough.
Yeah. I don't have anything else to ask you. Do you have anything else to say about the years, three years, 9 months, was it?
3 years and 9 months.
There's probably lots of things that you all think of that I should have asked you or that you didn't think of that you should have talked about.
No, it's, I've got nothing much more worried, but it was when we went through that.
Mm.
Yeah.